This is episode number one with Yasmeen Yousef. Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Kwong, and each week I'll bring you an inspiring guest with an empowering message to help you rise higher and live your best life. Each guest shares their time of struggle and setback and what specific mindsets, tools, practices, or habits they use to overcome so that you can apply them to your life. This show is to remind you that you're not alone and that there's always a pathway up. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Our struggles are a call for us to rise. So here we go. Let's dive deep now so we can rise higher together. Welcome everyone to episode number one. I feel so deeply grateful that my very first guest on the Rise Higher podcast is my extraordinary and uber talented friend, Yasmeen Yousef. I freaking love this woman, and I know you will too if you don't already know her. So Yasmeen and her sister Jahan are the amazing electro-punk music duo Cruella. And while I'm a mega fan of their music, what I'm an even bigger fan of with Yasmeen is her huge heart. Yazzie is probably one of the nicest humans I've ever met. And she inspires me with how she leads her life from her heart, her well of wisdom, her ability to see the good in even the most challenging situations. And you know what? She's just an all-around badass. And as I sat down with Yazzie for this episode, I was blown away by all the wisdom bombs she kept dropping, and I cannot wait for you to hear them. So a huge challenge that Yazzie had to rise higher from was the breakup of her band. Originally, Cruella was a trio, and when Yasmeen and her sister Jahan lost their third member, what happened after that was a major backlash of online hate and cyberbullying. I read some of the comments that were written about them, and I was absolutely horrified. It was so cruel what some of the people wrote, and people who are well-known, celebrities in the spotlight. So it's inspiring to hear how Yazzie moved up and out of that time. And since then, she and her sister have grown into symbols for female empowerment. So in this episode, some of the things Yazzie shares is how she was able to not let that hate in. The importance of letting go of toxic relationships, how to stand up to bullying. She shares a powerful tool that her dad taught her to help heal the pain and anxiety, a way to not feel so isolated in your feelings, a practice for setting boundaries and staying out of negativity. She shares why you have to use your voice to stand up for yourself and others and for what's right. She also shares an activity that she's been doing that has changed her confidence and how she holds herself. And she shares her go-to practice to get out when she's in a dark place, plus so much more. So when you listen to this episode, you're also going to hear us talking about how to shield kids and teens from online bullying. But what Yazzie shares applies to offline bullying and for adults too. So no matter what your age, if you're not being respected online or in your personal relationships, the practices and mindsets she shares can apply to you. There's so much goodness in this episode. I really hope you enjoy it. And for everything that we mention in today's episode, and for all the links to connect with Yasmeen, you can check it out in the show notes. And that is over at stephaniekwong.com/EP1. All right, let's do this. Here we go.
Here we go.
Yazzie.
Yes.
You are my very first guest on my podcast.
It's amazing. I'm so honored. Seriously, this is going to be great. Because me and you have had great conversations
totally.
In the past. Never been recorded before. Yeah. For the first time ever being recorded.
Yeah. And I'm really deeply grateful to have you on. Seriously, you are somebody who is just a bright, shining light in this world.
Thank you.
And I know that, you know, the listeners and even for me, I'm going to gain so much from this conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Two-way street.
Yeah.
Definitely two-way street.
So I met you 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and that was 2015.
2015. Oh my gosh. That seems like forever ago, but it was only 2 years ago.
Yeah. And I know that at that time there was some things that were going on in your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, lots of stuff.
What was happening in 2015 for you?
I think the main thing, we met through a program and I was trying to cope with losing one of our members. We started as a three-piece in Cruella and it was a hard battle to go through. But I think the hardest thing was at the end of the day, trying to figure out how to be just me and Jahan, me and my sister in our group. And as much as we're like two peas in a pod, we're like the other half of each other. Mm-hmm. When you go through something traumatic together, it can change your dynamic and relationship. And we were going through a really hard time and I couldn't figure out how to be normal with her, even though we were both going through the same thing. It was equally as traumatic mm-hmm. for us both, but I think we were struggling to figure out how to make things work. But obviously we always knew we were going to make it work, but there's just the process of going through it. And we went through highs and lows, and I am so thankful to say that 2 years later, I mean, she and I are so similar and we get to talk about everything together and we're closer than ever. So
yeah,
that's great.
Well, and I know when you were sharing with me, she is one of the most important people in your life.
Oh, yeah. Like, and that, pretty much number one up there.
Like, hey, wifey.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's so special to have that because I know a lot of siblings don't get along.
Yeah.
You know, I know in your world it feels that way. And I even saw you in another interview where you said family is like life.
Yes.
For you, but for some people, they can't say that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in that case, I think that people make their own families with their friends. Totally. Family is such a loose term. Sometimes it can be whatever you want it to be, but mm-hmm. my family is my blood family. I mean, I grew up so close with them. My dad is like my best friend. My mom is my confidant. Whenever I have an issue, I'm like, fly home to Chicago and go see Ma. I mean, that's my go-to thing to do. And
wow.
So we're really tight-knit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met your dad, remember, at Sammy's?
Yes, he's the cutest guy.
I love him so much.
Me too. Yeah. Everyone who meets him is like, your dad is so cool. He's like the life of the party.
He is.
It's my dad. It's my dad. I love
he's
him.
He's so amazing. I want to kind of go back a little bit to the part where you were saying the challenge with you and Johanna. I know... Well, actually, this has been a huge question for me to want to know. When you guys were deciding to, like, letting Chris go out of your group.
Well, I mean, he quit. So
oh,
we didn't.
He did?
Yeah, we didn't decide to let him go. It was more of like we had to let him go because he wanted to go. Yes.
Oh, I thought.
It was a harder thing than ever imaginable because Jahan and I didn't want him to leave. But you know what? I hate talking about it in that way because everything happens for a reason.
Totally.
He's out there making amazing music on his own and thriving. And you have to think about it, like, if that had never happened, mm-hmm. there are relationships in this life that are toxic. As much as you want them to work and be amazing,
yes.
they're going to be toxic.
Yes.
You can't help it.
Yes.
And you have to let that go sometimes.
Yeah.
And so we had to part ways. And, you know, looking back, I respect his decision so much. As much as it hurt, I get it. If something's not working and isn't right for you, you leave. You don't stay and torture yourself. It shouldn't be like that. Life shouldn't be like that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people find that that's actually their comfort zone too, to like stay in something that they don't want and they keep forcing themselves to stay in it and make it work. And it doesn't work out for everybody that's in.
Oh my God, that's such a good point. I think about all the time. Chris was in an incredibly comfortable position. We were touring the world. We were making really good money together. Mm-hmm. We were on this uphill trajectory, and it must have been really hard for him to walk away. I think about that all the time.
Wow.
He completely left his comfort zone to pursue a solo career, mm-hmm. and I respect that. Talking about it now, I've thought about that before, but I haven't thought about it in years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just hit me again. That probably was a really hard decision for him to make.
And then when that happened,
mm-hmm.
there was backlash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know that stuff.
Just a little backlash
of,
no,
you know, online abuse and cyberbullying and all that. What was that like? Like, did you even expect that was going to happen?
It's hard to say what you're ever going to expect until it happens mm-hmm. because it's always either way less worse or way more worse than what you think it's going to be. We had always experienced a little bit of online hate here and there, but it was never, ever to the degree that it was after Chris left. And It was also never that volatile. It never felt like people were actually hating us. They were just like, oh, those Cruella people, they suck. It wasn't like, you are the worst person and you did this awful thing and fuck you. And it felt more pointed. Like, instead of someone just brushing you off, they're like staring you in the face and saying it. And so it was really hard to deal with at first because in general, I was really young going into the music industry. I was 19 when we started touring and sorry, let me get my timeline correct. I think I was 19 when we started touring and then 22 when Chris quit and all that stuff happened. Yes, 22. And so you think about it, 22 years old.
I had
to grow up really quick, which is something that I feel very torn about because I always want to stay a kid forever, but I had to learn how to deal with backlash in a poised way, which is very hard to do. It's hard to look at a bunch of stuff about yourself online, comments that aren't true or opinions that people feel about you, and not say something back to every single one of them, defend yourself. I mean, the one thing I always look back on is that staying silent through a time when people are accusing you of things and pointing a finger at you is so hard to do, but I had to because of the legal issues. I wanted to defend John and I so badly. I used to write out long statuses and all these like blog posts, and then I would have to delete them because I would send them to the lawyer and say, is this okay to post? And he'd be like, absolutely not.
You're like,
you're kidding me?
You mother effers.
Like, it wasn't even like that. It was just like, guys, I promise this is exactly what happened, my side of the story, complete truth. I'm telling you in a stream of consciousness the way it happened, but I couldn't ever post anything. Wow. So it was like having my hands tied behind my back.
How did you, like, I couldn't even imagine what that was like. How do you not let something like that in? I mean, was it easy for you or did you actually have a hard time handling that?
It was not easy. Yeah. I think it was easier because Jahan was going through the same thing with me, but we had a hard time even talking about it because when you see so much about yourself online and you see a lot of negativity towards you and then you have someone going through it with you as well, it's hard to keep talking about it like a broken record.
Yeah.
It almost makes it worse to make it reality and bring it into the conversation, bring it to light. So we didn't talk about it really. We would talk about it here and there, but we both knew that we were hurting. We were going through the same thing. So it was kind of like, why do we need to talk about it? We both know, we both get it. Yeah. So let's not talk about it. But I think it made it almost harder to not talk about it. And so,
did you feel isolated then in your feelings, or were there other people that you could also connect with?
I talked to my dad a lot.
What was his best advice?
Oh my God. My dad is like,
I'm ready for him. Like, what did daddy say?
My dad's most amazing, best thing he's ever said to me in my life is that hate will never prevail over good. Good will always prevail over evil and hate. And he reminds me of that all the time. I know it's such a simple concept, but
so powerful.
You have to remember that you can't fight hate with hate. You can't fight evil with evil. You can't fight negativity with more negativity. There's really one way to do it, and it is just to kill them with kindness and just absorb it, but not let it really change you, which is so much easier said than done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's like everything gets better in time, so it's really hard for me to look back on who I was and what I was going through in 2014 and say it wasn't easy. Because now I feel at ease and at peace.
Yeah.
But back then it's like sleeping every night, anxious during the day. I mean, Jahan will talk about it all the time, but she's not here to say it. But that lawsuit and Chris leaving changed her so much. She developed an anxiety in her life that didn't exist before. She was always carefree, and something in her flipped a little bit after that. And I look at that and I'm like, I wish there was a way I could just take that away from her. But over time, I think she's gonna let go of that anxiety more. She's already started.
Yeah.
She's on her own amazing journey, but It's stuff like that that people don't realize that change forever.
That's trauma that you guys went through. I mean, I'm so happy to see you thriving.
Thank
you. Because it was like, you guys did that one video that I literally started crying when I saw it. It was the United
Kids of the World.
Kids of the
World.
Yeah,
that was
chills and tears seeing how you guys opened up and just reading some of the hate. I was appalled and like, I'm such an empath, so I feel, and I was like feeling that, and it made me so sad. But then I saw you guys being so empowered in your messaging that you were sharing.
Thank you.
But it brought me to that place of like, wow, how would I have been able to deal with something like that? Like, if you were to be able to kind of tap in and go, what was something like conversations with your dad and knowing to kill them with kindness, but was there even more digging that you had to do in your soul to be able to not let that pain in? What people are saying, or to just keep rising above that?
I think a huge thing for me and Jahan, something we actually did talk about a lot, was never victimizing ourselves. Mm. Because once you start to say, they did this to me, this is what they did, I don't deserve this, yada yada. I mean, we loved Chris so much. I still love him. He was like my brother. Mm-hmm. Why would I ever turn the situation into he did this thing to me, I can't forgive him, he's the enemy? I mean, that's just not the way anyone should live their life. And so I think that was a lot of the reason why I held I hate to call myself stoic because I'm so not stoic, but that's the only word that's coming to mind right now. But not responding to any backlash in a negative way is because I never wanted to drag him through the mud because I knew that he didn't deserve it. It shouldn't go that way. And so that kind of kept me in line, basically. Yeah. And Jahan kept me in line. We kept each other in line.
Yeah.
There were a lot of points where we checked each other. Like, no, don't say that. Don't post that. Don't do that. That's negative.
So you
stay out of it.
But you did feel a little bit of it. Because if she checked you or you checked her, they're
absolutely.
Still...
Absolutely.
Because that's also, you're human.
I was just going to say, I'm human. Like, there are times when I was just like, fuck the world.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, are you superhuman if you literally did not
absolutely
let any
not.
Of it or be affected by it? Because
I hate feeling angry and hateful towards people, but there were times where I did.
Yeah.
And that is poison. I will tell you, first and foremost, bitterness and hate will poison you for the rest of your life. I've seen it with people really close to me.
Yeah.
And they're in their later parts of their life and still bitter about the same shit that happened 20,
totally.
30 years ago.
And they won't let it go.
Exactly.
No.
You're not living your best life. Mm-hmm. And it's... Yeah. So there's so much, there's so much more to say about that, but letting it go, again, simple messages, so important, most important.
I'm so with you on that because for me, like I used to hold resentments and upset and at somebody in my family that I just was the hardest person for me to let that go with.
Mm.
And then I realized like what I'm committed to is actually being a loving being on this planet to everyone. Okay, well, if that's the commitment, that means that I can't be selective about it.
Exactly.
And the ultimate thing, when I realize what I'm hearing you say too, it's like when you hold that in yourself, you're actually poisoning yourself. It's not like you're going, ooh, if I'm pissed at them, they're going to feel it. It's like, you know, you're walking around with yourself all day long, feeling them out,
feeling
the pain.
It. And spreading the negativity in your circle and giving off bad vibes too.
Totally.
But yeah, it'll never reach them. It's only going to be here.
Yeah.
That's so true.
So what's so beautiful learning this about you, I'm even more inspired by you than
Thank
I already
you.
Was.
Thank you.
Seriously.
It's a process. It's not overnight. I promise you. This shit doesn't come easy. It's not like I woke up one morning. I was like, oh, I'm cured.
Mm-hmm.
It was a process I still go through today. I have my bad days where I slip back into old thought patterns. And it's really hard. It's an ongoing process. It's like exercising. If you don't exercise, you'll lose your muscle.
Totally.
Same thing with your mind. If you don't exercise positivity and loving thoughts and trying to be better and trying to find peace, you'll lose it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Are there certain, like, do you have mantras or do you have something that you say to yourself that helps you shift? What do you do specifically?
I don't necessarily have mantras, but I have little practices that I will do. I think journaling is really helpful. There was a time in my life that I was journaling every single night. I probably do it once a week now, but it's still incredibly helpful. I think I read a lot. And whether that's fantasy or nonfiction, whatever it is, it helps me get out of my own head and become a part of another world for a moment. And it just helps me get perspective on things. I think reading is probably the one thing outside of music
that you love.
Yes. That has just helped me find so much peace in my life. I love books.
What was the last book you read? Or what are you reading?
I'm currently reading a really cool sci-fi series. I'm like all about magic and fantasy and sci-fi when I'm not reading nonfiction, which is more rare, but I'm reading this book about, it's called The Last Girl. Oh my God, this sounds like really childish.
No, but tell me about it. I want to know.
It's kind of about how in the future, this is so funny, we're shifting topics entirely. Humans stop being able to produce female children. And so they go on this basically witch hunt to gather all the women who are left and try and figure out what's going on. But it turns into this awful, awful dystopian future where they are mistreating women. And just, it's an incredible story. It's kind of similar to The Handmaid's Tale. Have you read it or watched the
show? I know bits of it. Yes. I haven't actually watched it, but people
book and show are both great. Highly recommend. But yeah, so that's what I'm reading right now.
Perfect. I love it. Wow. Yeah, I love that you have your outlets on how to kind of find peace for yourself. Because journaling, I was always prescribing that to the people I worked with. But then for me, I had resistance and I don't know what it was to putting pen to paper. But once I did, it was like, it was such a beautiful space to just express yourself.
Yes.
That whatever is there, dump it. And
it's your one moment where you're allowed to be selfish and crazy and just let out the things you can't say to anybody that get bottled up. Once you put them on paper, it's crazy how much, or type them out. Ooh. It's crazy how much that can be a part of letting go. I've written emails before, long emails, and never sent them. I've just gotten it out. I've typed it to the person I wanted to type it to, never pressed send, and trashed it. And it felt like I was just letting it out there in the universe.
Yeah.
Somewhere on the internet it exists.
And then someone hacks your email and goes, send.
That would be my worst
nightmare. You're like, divine intervention. I guess it was meant to go to you. Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, I deserve it then.
Yeah. That's also such a healthy way of handling it. When you, like, seeing how you handle it, you shared some amazing ways of how you actually dealt with not letting hate in, really, and kind of doing the inner work of whatever you needed to do to release that. If someone was also going through bullying, because I feel like now, I mean, I have a niece and a nephew, 4 and 6. Part of me like wants to be that like super protective aunt.
Oh God.
Right? I was like, who
protects
them? Yeah, exactly.
I get it. Yeah.
And more and more what I'm hearing are people just because of the internet, so much bullying going on because it's so easy to hide behind your computer. Write really mean things and then disappear, and they don't realize the impact that it has on another human being. What would you tell somebody on how best to just deal with that and maybe even set their boundary? What would it be that you would share with them?
This is so hard because half of me wants to tell people to try and stay offline more because that's just a practice I do in my own life, but then the other half of me knows that most kids are addicted to social media today. It's not going to happen. That's unrealistic. So put that to the side. Yeah. I'm going to go on a tangent for a second. And I've talked about this a lot in the last 2 weeks or so. But you know the rapper Logic?
No.
He's amazing.
Okay.
You would love his new music video he just released for a song. The song title is the suicide prevention phone number.
Wow.
But the song it doesn't have the phone number in it, but he named the song the suicide prevention number. And that hotline, when that song was released, their numbers jumped so much because people are so unaware that that even exists. And a huge rapper bringing that to light is incredible.
That's
I respect
amazing.
Him so much.
Yeah.
He released a music video about 2 weeks ago about a young African-American man going through the troubles of being who he is, growing up, being gay. You realize halfway through the music video, wanting certain things that his parents don't want for him, and ultimately going through a depression that makes him want to kill himself. But in the end, there's a happy ending. Yay.
Yay.
You're like, no, where is this going? But I made the awful mistake of like scrolling down and reading some comments just to see what other people were thinking about it. I was crying by the end of the music video, by the way. I was so touched and I loved it. But I was reading a lot of things that people were saying. I mean, everything from why would anyone choose to be gay? Logic, why would you ever make this your music video, etc. It's awful things like that. Yeah. And it's all bred out of ignorance. It's all bred out of not being educated on the topic enough because so many people just don't know in a larger spectrum what other people are going through. So they jump to conclusions, they assume things, they have their own preconceived notions, their own thoughts about themselves that they're reflecting back on the other people. So I guess to go back to your original question, my advice would try and understand where that hate is coming from, why is it being guided towards you or misguided, and just try your absolute best to let it build you up instead of shape you into a more bitter person, because I think about who I would be without the hate. I think I'm a better person for going through all the backlash. I really do. I want to try and be thankful for everything in my life.
Such an angel. Keep telling me that.
I'm trying my best. I don't think I'm an angel, but I'm trying. But I mean, I think I'm a more empathetic person now. I think that I look at bullying as an actually severe issue now. Before, I didn't. I really didn't understand the depth of it and how much it could really affect someone's life until I went through it. And so do your best to take it in, understand that it is going to make you better and stronger. I mean, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Totally.
Again, I'm throwing so many of those lines.
Keep them coming.
Let's go.
Keep them coming. Yeah.
But it's true.
It's all true.
It's so really true. Is. And then if you can, try and stay offline. Not in a big way, not all of the time, but if you see something you don't like online, don't let it consume you and sit there and stare at it and type responses and delete them and type another one and try and word it properly. Don't do that. Let it go. Or switch lanes and find something else online. I've unfollowed so many things on Instagram and Twitter that were breeding like a negative or just like bully mentality. And I started following other things like things I love, like artists that I love or poets that I loved. And that I know I'm having an outlet on the internet that is just full of creativity and inspiration. Yeah. So if you're gonna be online, try and make it so that you see things that are gonna help you and inspire you. I don't know if this is really good advice because I'm still figuring it out as I go day by day.
Yeah.
But
I think it's amazing because whatever you focus on is how you feel. So if you're focusing on the hate, if you're focusing on the negativity, it has you feel a certain way. You can't help but start to absorb that.
Yeah.
But like what you're doing, what you said, I read, you know, books where I can kind of escape and go on this adventure, or I focus my mind on positivity, that you also feel a certain way when you're looking at positive stuff.
Yes.
You can't help but feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think we get so caught up in the drama, or what I notice is a lot of people get into that stuff. That's why on TV shows or that, like, what are those reality shows?
Yes.
People love it because of the drama. And
people thrive off of drama. It's horrible, but it's true.
But then they're also adding to that energy because they're getting caught up in it. So
exactly.
If you want to feel better, focus on the things that will also lift you higher. And
exactly.
It's all that goodness.
And I think that goes into your real life too. Your not online life, but your real life. Surround yourself with people who aren't gossiping, aren't talking a bunch of shit about stuff that really isn't helping you. I mean, I get that everyone needs to let stuff out sometimes, but if that's all you are having the conversations about in your group of people surrounding you, you probably need to venture out and find some people who are challenging your intellect and bringing new ideas to light and talking about the future and just things that are actually going to help build you into a better person.
Yeah. I agree. What is it? Your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to throw one out too because you were doing so much. I was like, where's mine?
Oh my God.
Your vibe
true.
Attracts your tribe.
It's so
true. Again, as you elevate yourself, you're noticing, like, wait, no, I want positivity. Your vibe raises, and you start to look for those people who do the same thing for you. Because I'm sure, especially you being in the public eye, like you need to just keep people who lift you instead of those who take from you.
Mm-hmm. One more thing.
Yes.
If you see negativity online towards someone else and you truly believe that it is unnecessary and the wrong thing, it's okay to stand up for somebody. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. A lot of people will let it happen. That's online and in real life. I wish I could go back to junior high or high school and stand up for the kids or myself that I saw being bullied. I never got bullied, really. I mean, I was like so under the radar and didn't talk to anybody that nobody would bully me. But I think that if you feel strongly about something, don't hold your tongue. If you feel like it's the right thing, go for it.
Speak up.
Say it with love.
Yeah.
Say it with positivity. Don't add more negativity to the pot, but stand up for someone or stand up for yourself.
So I'm going to dig a little deeper.
Yes.
How would you say it in a positive way? Like if you were speaking up for someone else to make sure that you're coming from a place of love.
I love thinking about this kind of stuff. I remember there was a time I was in school and there was a girl with Asperger's in my class, and she was really sweet, and then something would flip her, and then she would say something out loud in class in the middle of nowhere, and people would just laugh and tell her to just shut up and stuff like that. And I wish at the time, even if I didn't stand up to them, I wish I had talked to her after class and been like, if you ever need someone to talk to, I'm right here, and also don't pay any mind to them because they're going through their own journey. They have the pressures of the social life of school to feel cool, to feel accepted.
Yep.
They're doing this for their own reasons that have nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
So just focus on yourself. You're going through your own thing. You're on your own journey. And if you need a friend, I'm here. That's how I would probably want to talk about it, because I'm not a very confrontational person. I probably wouldn't go up to a bully and be like, yo, man, that was really rude. You shouldn't talk to someone like that.
But I love you.
But I love you, man.
But don't do that. Not cool.
I would be really bad at that. I was a really afraid teenager. I really didn't say a word throughout the school day. That was me. I was just like the quiet wallflower. But and if I wasn't the quiet wallflower, I would probably want to take this bully. Sorry, I hate calling them bullies because
it has
a heavy meaning to it. Everyone's going through their own shit, so I don't want to ever like finger point, but I would probably take them to the side or like pull them over at the end of class if I had the guts to do it and be like, yo, dude, that's a girl who's going through something that you will never understand. And I think you need to be careful about the way you speak to people, because you could affect her in ways that you have no idea. You could send ripples through her life that will lead to her feeling really bad about herself, depressed, and you don't want to be responsible for those feelings. So just hold it in next time. The next time you feel like you need to laugh at someone or yell at someone to feel cool, just keep it in. Just let it go.
You know, it comes up for me actually as you're saying that, because we know that hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
And so almost even leaning in with that person and going, what is it that you need right now too?
Yeah.
Because they're probably hurting so bad that they need to take it out on someone else.
Yeah. Or feeling so insecure because at that time in your life, when you're a young kid going through school, surrounded by your peers, you have this need to feel accepted. It is just a part of growing up. And jumping to bullying or just whatever it is, laughing at someone, yelling at someone, whatever it is like a hair trigger that you just do. You can't help it. And so if you're aware of what you're going through, if someone brings it to light, because most kids go through that stuff blind. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going on.
No.
You're 12 or 14.
Just trying to fit in and feel accepted.
And figure shit out. Most kids aren't the brave, amazing people that you see on TV shows sometimes. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. Most kids are not self-aware. They're really going through adolescence blind and just figuring it out as they go.
Yeah. It's so funny that you're like, I was a shy kid. I'm like, you shy?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I wanted to bring something up because I know you and I talked about this on the phone, where you wanted to share a bit about being a Pakistani woman. And oh, I'm curious, because you grew up in Texas and then you moved to Chicago.
So I was born in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, but we lived there for less than a year.
Okay.
I don't really consider myself a Texan. I'm a Chicagoan true and through and through, but I grew up in a suburb that was pretty much 95% white.
Yeah, that was me too.
And in my school, it was me, my sisters, I have two sisters, and maybe one other person who was either Indian or Pakistani or Muslim. And it was like probably five of us. Mm-hmm. And we had a big school. My high school was 2,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
In my year, there was really, actually in my year, I was the only subcontinent Asian person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was one other Muslim girl. She was Egyptian and she was Muslim. And it was just the two of us. And it was really weird growing up in a place that during 9/11, I was in fourth grade. And I remember, I will literally never forget this. I think there were two terrorists or one that were a part of 9/11 who had the last name Yusuf. My last name's Yusuf.
It's like
Smith. It's like the last name over there.
Got it.
You can't escape it, okay?
Like so, Chan or Lee or
exactly.
Wong for Chinese people.
Exactly.
Got it. Yeah.
So I remember some kid, he was nine. We were nine when 9/11 happened. And he turned to me the next day and he was just like, "Why did your family do that?" And I was just like, How do I explain to him that it's like, I have nothing to do with that just because we share the last name and we're both from Pakistan and we're both Muslim, that I have nothing to do with that. Muslims have nothing to do with that. I mean, as a nine-year-old, I was speechless. I remember just biting my tongue and not knowing what to say because you're nine and you're like,
what do you even,
you just caught me off guard and I don't know anything. I'm nine.
Wow.
So again, another time I wish I could go back and just be like, "Yo, man, let's sit down for a second and have a chat real quick."
Yusuf is a very common last name.
Let's talk about stereotypes real quick. Oh my God, I think that for a large part of my life, I didn't have anybody to look up to who looked like me, who had the same name or who had the similar style and upbringing and culture as me, because I grew up going to Islamic school every Sunday. Every Saturday night, we were dressed up in Pakistani outfits, going to our family friend's house.
Oh.
My mom, she's American, she's European American, but she learned how to make bomb Pakistani food, oh my God, and we ate Pakistani food five nights a week. And so I was super, super Pakistani growing up. It was like, the culture was embedded in what I was doing, but it was only at home and it was only with my family. And then I would go to school or go to a friend's house and it would just be something I couldn't relate to and they couldn't relate to me because it's not in popular media to see someone who is from Pakistan or India or Muslim who's not the taxi driver or the gas station owner. Other than that, there's really no people of my background represented. And
did that feel strange for you? Like, did you actually feel a difference that people even treated you differently? Or was it just you noticed you didn't have someone to look up to that was similar to you?
I think I grew up in a pretty open environment. Besides the little things here and there of those random kids being ignorant, I think people were almost fascinated. People didn't know what Pakistan was before 9/11. And then after 9/11, Pakistan was suddenly a country. And so people were like, "Oh, you're from Pakistan. I've heard of that before." And so people would actually be interested in knowing more about my family's background, which was actually really cool for me because I love telling people about my culture. It's so important to me. But it also felt like I was, there's this phrase called ABCD, American born confused Desi. Desi means a person of an Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi background. And so that's what I felt like going through my adolescence. I was American-born, confused Desi. I was torn because I was half white, grew up in America, but grew up very embedded in my Pakistani culture. Even my white mom converted to Islam and just made sure we were really enveloped in our culture. And I love her for that. Oh my gosh. Imagine coming into a culture brand new and just being like, I accept this.
Fully.
Let's go. And that was my mom. She's She's a G. My mom's the best. Yeah.
I need to meet her too.
You will. She's moving to the West Coast
Yay!
Soon. Yes.
Yeah, get her on the side.
Over here. But yeah, so I think it was more that I grew up a little bit confused about my identity. And it wasn't until I grew up and got older and learned how to openly embrace who I was.
Yeah.
That I feel so proud now. I mean, I used to tell people when people were like, what's your background? I would be like, okay, I'm German, I'm Lithuanian, and my dad's Pakistani. I would almost say it as like an afterthought.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I'm Pakistani and German and Lithuanian. Not like those matter less, but being Pakistani was way more a part of my life than being German or Lithuanian. Mm-hmm. So I say that first now because that's what I feel is more prevalent to who I am and my identity. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud now, which is a long time coming.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you're proud.
Thank you.
So I have 3 quick questions for you. This is the unlock your heart round. All right, numero uno, what's something unique about you that most people don't know?
I love this question because it's constantly changing. I always have a new thing to say whenever mm-hmm. this is asked. I think something that some people might know this, but I started boxing 1.5 years ago. I did, and it has changed my life in more ways than just my body. People will talk about how it's one of the best workouts you can do, but it has shaped my mind. Mm. It has made me a more confident woman. Mm. I feel confident in protecting myself now. I mean, it has really changed almost every facet of my life.
Wow.
So I'm also bringing this up because I want other women to see this, and don't be afraid to go take a self-defense class or a boxing class or a jiu-jitsu class, mm-hmm. something that's going to help you feel more confident in your own skin, with your own body,
yep.
protecting yourself, even the way you speak to people and talk to people. I mean, half of boxing is looking someone in the eye.
Huh.
It's not only an intimidation thing, but a power thing. I am here. I am powerful. Mm-hmm. I am standing here in front of you. I mean, that's so much that I've learned from boxing.
Yeah.
It's like scratching the surface.
It's amazing. It is so empowering when you start to like use your body in ways that you haven't before, but from a place of power.
Yes.
Yeah.
Being strong mentally and physically is an important thing to me, but I didn't realize how important it was until I started boxing. Mm-hmm. I always thought I was like, oh, it's really great to be healthy, and obviously being happy is the number one mm-hmm. thing in life, but man, boxing really, it changed the way I just hold myself in general. So I highly recommend it.
I know. So here's the thing.
Yes.
I did a boxing class.
Oh yeah?
I was so grossed out by the smell of the gloves.
Oh,
I'll go
no.
back. I just need to get my own gloves.
Just get your own gloves.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, and I could not wash it off my hand forever.
No.
So gross. Getting my own gloves. I'm totally into it.
So I got to plug my boxing gym real
quick.
Oh my God, I'm actually like carrying around their it's Fitbox in Sherman Oaks, but they let people borrow gloves, but they wash them like every week. So you're never using gross secondhand
gloves.
Go
to Fitbox.
It's amazing. This family, it's a husband, wife, and 2 kids, a son mm-hmm. and a daughter. They all teach together.
Wow.
They are the most badass family I've ever met in my life. I love them so much, and I highly recommend going to boxing, and then if you are confused where to go to Fitbox.
Okay.
Life changers.
Fitbox.
Yes.
Got it.
I'm going to bring you with me.
I'm going to go.
Yes.
Let's do it. Okay.
You're going to kick some ass, I promise.
All right.
Yeah.
When you're in a really dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
Recently, it's been gardening. It's like another old woman thing I do. I feel like I'm 80 on the inside. But I love being in nature. So I'll either go on a hike or garden, like be in nature somehow. And it's do something that doesn't take a lot of intellect. It's something, you know, they say like cleaning or cooking mm-hmm. or gardening are things that you can really go into autopilot on and your brain can just
shut
drift
off.
Into places.
It's like mindfulness.
Exactly.
You're so focused
it's
on that
meditation
thing.
Yeah. In a way that you wouldn't exactly think was meditation,
mm-hmm.
but things like that I go to, or I'll read. Reading is really my main go-to, but I didn't want to say that as like the main thing because that's so obvious for me. But yeah, gardening has been the main thing recently. Okay. And
I love that. I was actually surprised about you're like, and it's gardening. I love it. I just wasn't expecting it, but it's so good.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just love, I mean, I used to have a black thumb. I would kill everything. And now I've slowly started to learn how to nourish and treat my plants like my babies. Mm-hmm. They're like kind of dying because of the heat and it makes me really sad. But besides that, it's amazing. So I guarantee you, if you go in nature or be near nature, go back to nature.
So healing.
Always. So healing.
So healing. You just feel, talk about raising your vibe. Mm-hmm. The vibration of Mother Nature is so high that you can't help but feel that too. All right, last one.
Yes.
Knowing what you know now, mm-hmm. what advice would you give to your 10-year-old self?
I have a long list of things I would tell myself. I'm trying to think of the most important thing. Growing up, I was really, really independent. Mm-hmm. And I think I still very much am. But growing up, I was alone a lot of the time on purpose. And I think I would probably tell myself that I wasn't weird. I wasn't weird in a bad way. Because weird is a great thing. I mean weird in the way that people say to you in a negative way. I would say that it's totally okay to just do your own thing and be in your own world. And and even going through school being alone like that, I would tell myself it's not weird that you don't have a huge group of friends. It's not weird that you're not sitting at a lunch table with people. I would eat my lunch in the art room. But in like a way that I loved it. I didn't ever feel excluded, but I still wondered if there was something wrong with me. And I would tell myself, that is just you. It's just you.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
That is like one of many things. I wish I could tell myself so many things.
But we'll get to more of those.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably the main thing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
This has been so wonderful to see you today. I've missed you. I'm so grateful to see you. And thank you for coming out to Venice.
I'm so excited for this for you.
Thank you.
It's going to be amazing. I'm excited to see who else you interview, conversations you have. Yeah. You're just a very deep thinking human, and I think you're going to ask people questions that bring a lot out of them that they normally don't get to talk about.
Thank you.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited too.
Oh, yay! Thank you. Sweaty hugs.
Thank you guys for spending time with me today and for showing up for you. I hope you enjoyed the very first episode of the Rise Higher podcast. And if you want an extra boost of empowerment from Yasmin, go check out my Instagram at IamStephanieKwong, where I have a mini video of Yazzie sharing another go-to practice she has to get out of the darkness that was not on today's show. Now, I'm gonna be posting wisdom bombs from all my guests on my Instagram for you, so it becomes a place for you to go to for the inspiration and empowerment you may need. And if there's someone you know who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. Also, if you got value from this episode, I would love for you to subscribe on iTunes, because that means we can support even more people to rise higher together. And I've got a free gift for you. Yep. I sure do, because I believe that self-love is the key to everlasting happiness, unconditional love, and to having anything and everything you want. I have a special gift for all my listeners. It's a free self-love kickstart that will give you some powerful practices to get you on your journey to owning your worth, rocking your confidence, and opening up to your own love to radically transform your life. And you can download that free gift that I created just for you at stephaniekwong.com/self-love-kickstart. And finally, as a reminder for everything that we mentioned in today's episode, you can check it out in the show notes, and that is over at stephaniekwong.com/EP1. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm sending you so much love.